Hey guys, welcome back to Heal, Survive, and Thrive. I am so excited that you are here. Let's dive right into this week's topic.
So if you have been following me for a while, you will know that I talk a lot about something called self-parenting. Now, when I became a coach, a lot of what I started out thinking I was going to be helping people with was narcissism, emotional abuse, really like those educational videos. And this is obviously an educational channel, but a lot of what I also go over, so there's the educational piece, and then there's the, all right, how do we actually fix some stuff piece. So for me personally, when I had tried therapy years and years ago, I liked it in the sense that I kind of got everything out. I like the psychology of learning, okay, why am I the way I am? Why is she the way she is? Like, why is this? I love all that stuff. And if you like self-development, you like psychology. But something that I always felt like was really lacking was, well, now what do I do about it? Okay, you're telling me I'm codependent, but what do I do about it? Okay, you're telling me that this person is narcissistic, but what do I do about it? Because I have to deal with this person. So I have fears, I have insecurities, I have anxieties, you know, mental health is such an important topic that this is going to be the thing, at least for me, completely changed the game, changed my life, and it helped me in so many ways. Self-parenting is the process of, and you know me, I try to make everything as simple as possible. I'm not going to get into like terms that I don't even know, you know what I mean? Like, but self-parenting is basically the process of having a conversation with yourself. So how do you have healthy inner dialogue? How do you, when you experience fear, loneliness, stress, anxiety, worry, self-doubt, insecurities, blah, 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 because those things are going to come up, right? Like even the most confident, successful people in the world, they still have self-doubts. They still have fears at times. The difference between probably someone like that and someone who's never tackled any of their own demons or done any of this self-development work, and I don't care who you are. I don't care if you go to like LeBron James to all the way to, you know, a kid that's 20 years old or, you know, 18 and going into their first year of college. You're both human, so you're both going to experience the same things in life. You may experience them differently, but it's the same thing across the board. And this is the stuff that's going to help you in every facet of life. So this is mental toughness. This is loving yourself. This is having a healthy inner dialogue. This is how you take care of yourself emotionally and mentally.
Before we continue on with this week's podcast, I just want to touch base with you guys regarding my coaching program because I get a lot of questions regarding what I actually do offer in terms of coaching. My coaching program is a 6-week minimum. In that time, you will have 8 weeks to complete the 6-week program. You will have a weekly phone session with me, which is an hour long. You will also have email access to me from week to week. So you will have 24/7 access to me regarding any questions, concerns, new goals, things that have come up in your life that you would like to discuss or possibly touch base on in your next phone session. You will also have access to my 9-week online course. This is a great bonus to my coaching program. So while you are working with me one-on-one and having email access to me, you will also have access to my coaching program where we go over everything in terms of emotional wounds. So this is really big because it's going to reinforce everything that we are talking about from week to week and the goals that you are setting for yourself. If you guys are interested, I always link all of the information on any of my podcasts, or you can go to my website or also find me on social media as well. And let's get right back into this week's episode.
So this is a 4-step process. So let's take those notes. So number one, we need to, and some of this may be basic, but I want you to understand that all 4 things, you're gonna struggle with one, right? Maybe you struggle with number one, maybe you struggle with number 3 or whatever, but there's gonna be one that you're like, that's the thing that I really, really need to start working on before I can even go to the next one. Or maybe this is just the one in general that you struggle with the most. Also, all of these 4 things that I'm gonna go over is what we look for people to do for us, right? Or physical things, right? Possessions, money, all of that stuff to give us. So if I'm codependent, I'm gonna look for these 4 things in other people and I'm gonna give them to you and then I'm gonna go into them. So number 1 is acknowledge feelings and thoughts. Number 2 is validation. So number 1, acknowledge thoughts and feelings. Number 2, validation. Number 3, detach. And number 4 is parent mode, or I like to call it like mama bear mode. So we have the 4 things: acknowledge thoughts and feelings, validation, detach, in parent mode, mama bear mode, best friend mode, coach mode, whatever it is that you want to call it. Now, these four things, I'm going to first of all go into how do we look for this in other people. Number one, we're always looking for people to acknowledge our own thoughts and feelings, right? Can I be myself around you? Can I tell you everything that I'm thinking and feeling? Can I show you my insides, right? So that's that. Validation, we all want validation, right? So if I tell you what I think and what I feel comfortable to do that. Now I want you to validate what I think and what I feel. And most people aren't able to do that because if I validate you, they feel like I'm invalidating myself because we disagree. So that's number two. And we're looking for this outside of ourselves, right? Number three is detachment. Now, when you're talking to a friend about something that you think and how you feel and you want that validation and blah, 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 they are detached from you. So for example, if I'm your best friend and we're sitting across from each other and you're telling me everything that's going on with you, I'm not in your head. I'm not in it with you, right? I'm just the outsider looking in. I'm detached. So I can see a situation for what it is and I can help you through that because I'm not emotionally in it with you. Entangled up in this like whirlwind of either negative self-talk, habits that aren't serving you, like I'm able to see it. That's why we always go to our friends and family, because sometimes they have the best advice or they tend to see things the way they really are, whereas like we can't see them because we're in something right now. Number four is the parent mode or mama bear mode or best friend mode. And this is the part where once the friend has kind of seen the situation for what it is, they step in and they're like, look, you're gonna kill it in that interview today. Like you are a catch, you deserve such a great person. Like they're able to boost you up, they're able to lift you up, they're able to remember who you are because you have completely forgotten. Now, those four things are what we look for outside of ourselves. But where it becomes unhealthy is when we can't do any of these things for ourselves. So will at times we need someone to acknowledge our thoughts and feelings for us to be comfortable with, that we can like share, you know, everything that's going on inside of ourselves? Of course, that's relationships. Or is it gonna be nice to be able to be with a partner where they can validate how you feel as well as you validate how they feel? Wow, if we could do that, talk about like arguments would just go out the window because you would be able to work through things. Then number three, and this is probably easy in friendships, if you know that detachment, oftentimes we are detached, right? We're not really in it with someone because we're not them and we can't be in it with them to the fullest extent that they are. And then number four, you know, going into that mama bear or best friend mode. So when we look for, which is basically just them loving you and them seeing you for who you are and them motivating you and inspiring you and all of those things. So when we look for all of that, but we're not able to do any of it for ourselves, that's unhealthy. That's codependency right there. So the most important thing is for you to be able to do all of these things for yourself. The most important thing with this is you are responsible for yourself. Your children are not responsible for your happiness. Your partner is not responsible for your happiness. Your parents aren't supposed to always be there 24 hours a day to be able to lift you up. Maybe in the beginning, if you were a child, so if you're 7 years old and you're watching this, then yes, your parents should be. But if you're 34 and you're out of the house and you're a grown adult, at this point, of course, our parents are going to always be there for us. Our friends are going to be there for us, etc., etc. But it is your job to make yourself happy. It's your job to now be able to take care of yourself mentally and emotionally. The problem that we have in the world that we live in is when we're growing up, we hopefully have some of those things. Most of us didn't get all of it, but I mean, even if you got bits and pieces of mom making you feel safe, dad inspiring you and motivating you, mom holding you and soothing you until you felt better, all of those things were the things that we were supposed to get, number one, which sometimes we didn't even get it. But then number two, we were supposed to learn, okay, how do I translate that into being an adult? Because if I'm 34, I'm not gonna call my mom and expect her to come to my house and hold me in the middle of the night because I'm lonely and scared. So I have to learn, how do I begin to soothe myself? How do I begin to validate my own feelings? How do I be able to be mama bear for my own self? I always look at my son, I'll always be mama bear for him. I can sometimes see him past what he can see, even at 6 years old, but he has to learn to be able to do that for himself as well. He has to learn to be able to have healthy self-talk and not get, you know, go down the rabbit hole. He has to learn that he gets to choose. Do you want to go down the rabbit hole or do you want to go somewhere else with this? So I think that those are all skills that we didn't learn as we transitioned from children into teenage years into adulthood. So here we are learning it now, which is totally fine as long as you're learning it. So the very first thing, acknowledge your thoughts and feelings. Now, some people don't do this. This may sound like, okay, Steph, I'm gonna acknowledge everything I think and feel. Great, okay, that's easy to do. I gotta tell you, most people don't do it. Let's just be frank. Most people don't wanna cry. Most people don't wanna feel what they have to feel. Most people, you know, when they think something, they just suppress it and they just, whatever. And they don't like deal with it. Because quite frankly, I understand, like, life is busy and sometimes we get distracted by life and we don't always deal with the things that we have to deal with because we don't want to, right? Like, we just always want to feel good and be happy. We want to always avoid pain and just seek that pleasure. But if we avoid the pain's still going to be there. So you got to deal with it when it comes up. Now, the second thing, and when I tell you this is like probably one of the biggest things, is validation. So you have to be, and again, it's important in your relationships with other people, being able to validate what someone else thinks and feel, even when you don't agree with it, and being able to validate your own self, even though you don't understand why you're even thinking and feeling the way you do. So for example, when you say something like, I don't know why I still feel this way, you're invalidating yourself. You feel this way because you still feel this way. And the important thing to understand is where thoughts come from. So when you have that thought and then that part of you goes, I don't know why you still feel that way. It's almost like if you had that thought and then your friend came in and judged you for having that thought. That's basically what you just did. So validation is absolutely huge. You can't shame yourself for whatever it is that you're thinking or feeling. And just understanding that whatever it is that you are thinking, even if it is something that's uncomfortable, just know that it's coming from a place. It's not coming from you as the conscious, logical adult. It's coming from a wound. It's coming from your past. It's coming from programming. It's coming from the little girl inside. It's coming from this place. So this is where, when you hear the phrase, you are not your thoughts, here we go. This is where that phrase was created. So the validation piece just basically says, I hear what you're saying, I hear what you're feeling, and I understand why you feel that way. So now, if someone said something to you, best friend said something to you, I feel this, you're going to be on the outside looking in so you can say, I get why they feel that way. You have empathy and compassion for what it is that this person is experiencing in this moment. Now again, if we could be able to do that, we wouldn't have any of the world problems that we have. We wouldn't have wars because ego would be gone. We would be able to like validate each other. Like, I get it. You know, it doesn't mean that it's okay, but the hatred would stop. The judgment would stop. The just not being nice to each other would stop probably. So being able to validate your own feelings is really huge because the other reason why it's absolutely huge is because not everyone that's outside of you is going to always validate your feelings. So when someone else doesn't, what do? Do you get angry because Jody didn't want to validate what you think and what you feel? No, you don't need Jody to validate what you think and what you feel. You validate it. And I'll tell you, you being able to do this stuff for yourself is always going to feel way different than someone ever doing it for you. So, and this is why no matter what you have, the marriage, the children, the white picket fence, the money, all of those outside things still won't make you feel good if there's still stuff going on inside. This is why some people are still not happy, because it's the inner work. The inner work is what allows you to actually feel pure, authentic joy and happiness, not I got this job, I made this much money, I have this relationship, I have the white picket fence, I live in a $1 million house, blah, 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 blah. Like, all those things are great, but they're not going to fill you up inside. Now, the next thing is practicing detachment. And this is something that most people probably struggle the most with this. We can start to really validate our feelings. We can start to really be nicer to ourselves and give ourselves empathy. We can really want to like nurture ourselves and love ourselves in this way. But being able to detach is a practice that you have to do, because our minds move so fast and there's so much going on in our heads at every single moment. I mean, think about how many thoughts you can have in a day. So the momentum that your mind has at times, being able to like stop, see the thought, right? Acknowledge the thought, validate the thought, and then move away from the thought. That is a three-step practice, right? And it just takes time. So the ability to detach. Now, I know what you're thinking. For me, I always thought like detach is unhealthy, right? Like when you think of like someone that cheats, they're detached from the relationship emotionally. So, but detachment isn't something that's unhealthy. It's just allowing a little bit of space between you and the thought so you can decide what you want to do with that thought. Because if you don't have that space, then you're always going to attach to the thought and you're always going to feed the thought and you're always going to think that the thought's real. And that's dangerous. So now if you have fully accepted that you are not your thoughts, right? That not that you are not your thoughts, but that most people think unconsciously. So if we do, and if we are a lot of the times throughout our day asleep, then a lot of our thoughts are coming from way in the back, right? The subconscious. So if all of these thoughts are coming to the forefront, that means that I'm not choosing what I think. My subconscious is choosing it based on my values, my beliefs, my past experiences, my wounds, and that's actually coming to the forefront. So that's where fear is, that's where insecurity is, that's where self-doubt is, and all of that other kind of stuff. So as that stuff starts coming to the forefront, if I'm not more conscious in my thinking, right? So we can say mindfulness, we can say conscious, then whatever comes up, I'm going to believe that to be true because I haven't started consciously thinking, right? Logically thinking to be able to decide, do I actually think this is real? Do I really believe this? Do I want to go there? Is this what I want all of my energy to feed? Is this? Or do I want to think something different? So when you begin to practice consciousness or think more consciously, then you get to, which is just logical basically, which is allowing you to really choose which way do I want to go with this. So if I'm detached, even just a little bit where I can give myself that little bit of space, in that moment, I have that split second where I can choose, do I want to go here or do I want to go there? And sometimes this is where you know you're addicted to negative thinking and it's just like anything else, right? You're now detaching from like an old way of thinking, an old you. And at times you're going to want to indulge. You know this. I know you do. That there have been times where you know you shouldn't be doing something, but you just, I wanna do it. Like it's pulling me over here, right? I wanna go stalk that person on social media. Or I know that I shouldn't be thinking these thoughts, but it kind of feels good for a minute to like go in this place and like I go down this hole and like all of that kind of stuff. So it became, now we go into mental toughness. Now it's about like being mentally strong to say, no, that is not going to serve me. That's not getting me to the goal that I want. So I have to choose. If this is the goal that I want, then I'm gonna bring my thought and I'm gonna direct it over here. This is BS. I don't believe any of this kind of stuff. And I have to start focusing on like, I wanna go in that direction. So once you've kind of decided, okay, I'm going in this direction, now we straight up are in mama bear mode. Now we're in parent mode, coach mode, friend mode. This is when you really love yourself. This is where affirmations come into play. If you're doing affirmations, this is where you're gonna be able to motivate yourself, inspire yourself, empower yourself, to, you know, give yourself that faith, that strength to be able to say, I got this. I'm going to actually do this. I've been working on myself. I've been listening to some good stuff. I've been feeding my mind. And this is what I want for myself and I deserve it. So this is where all of that work that people sometimes are like, well, I don't wanna do affirmations and what good does that do and all that kind of stuff. This is where it comes into play because whether you know it or not, you've been doing work in the background by doing these affirmations and you've been actually planting some good seeds back here that now when you actually choose, okay, this is where I want to go, you have all of that good stuff, all of that strength that's going to allow you to actually go forward now in this direction versus always going in this direction. And just knowing that you going in this direction is just habitual. It's just what you've always done. And you're starting a new practice of being able to say, you know what, I'm not going to go there. I'm actually going to go here. And you're going to find the more you do this, it feels good. You feel better. You didn't need Jody to validate you. Okay, you tried to call mom and she didn't answer and you needed someone to help talk you off the ledge, but no one answered and you were able to do it for yourself. You actually start to feel better.
So that about wraps it up. Thanks guys so much for all of your support. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode and I will see you next week.